listening to the Obesity Revolution. We're adding fact to fat. You can join the revolution. Follow the conversation and Sean's weight loss journey at theobesityrevolution.com. Now, here's Sean Mulroney.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Obesity Revolution. You know who I am? I am Sean Mulroney. You know, you follow me all over on my social media. I am Sean Mulroney. Make it simple. You know what I'm saying? You know, keep it simple. Stupid, I've heard, but it's like, keep it simple, Sean, is what it is for me. So it's all about keeping things going, you know, one step at a time. But I'm just so thankful for all of you that listen. I mean, you are the best part of the Obesity Revolution. You know, the support that we get, just all of you. I mean, I know the struggle's real. I know things are real, you know, especially tackling, you know, obesity. I mean, obesity, we're warriors. I mean, we're fighting, and people think, oh, well, we're just fat, you know, disgusting, lazy, whatever the case may be. Well, we need to kill those stigmas that are surrounded that by these stigmas to say, hey, here it is. Now watch this. I believe in being human positive, okay? It doesn't matter if you're 600 pounds or you're 60 pounds. You matter. You have red blood coursing in your veins, you matter. If you have a heartbeat, as long as you're not dead, you're not done. And I don't care what it is, there's things and circumstances, because obesity is complex. Let alone put it in the mix of lymphedema. Now you got a double edged sword right there. I mean, it's not easy. And people think it's easy. Well, those are the ones that never walked in our shoes or never have any empathy for somebody that's going through this stuff. So we're going to change that. And that's how, you know how we do that? We'd use our four pillars. You know, number one, we want to make sure we identify. We're going to identify the problems. We're going to educate about the problems. We're going to inspire other people to be inspired to inspire other people about that and educate people and being an inspiration, because you can be an inspiration. If you're at my highest weight, 687, I don't care what people think about me. And that's what you need to do, is you just have, you know, wake up every morning and grab a nice big cup of I don't give a flip and say, I'm me, I'm who I need to be, and you're not going to change that. And if anybody wants to, because haters to me are motivators. The more hate you get, man, the more I want to just crank out and say, you know, prove them wrong. Well, I want to prove myself wrong, because I'm my biggest enemy. You know, the hardest prison to escape is our own mind. And so, and lastly, what we want to do, we want to make sure that we don't just identify and educate, and that we don't inspire. We want to make sure that we come through and have engagement, that we engage the problem, that we go full force, and that we execute. That's that execute. So if you have engagement, you're going to have execution. Execute it is one thing to know, it's another thing to do it. But I am so glad that you all were tuned in. I'm glad that you were listening to us. Go to theobesityrevolution.com. We have so much stuff there. Our app's getting ready to come out. I can't wait. My book is going to be Becoming Larger Than Life, Addressing the Elephant in the Room. We're going to be making a big announcement about that and have a big book launch. But I am so thankful for every one of you, and glad that you're here. But I just want to get right into this right now. I have a pretty amazing guest today, and her name's Jam. We'll call her Jam. She's a lymphedema warrior. She's a body positive activist. She goes through everything is that make sure that she loves nerdy things. Man, I wonder what these nerdy things are, huh, Jam? I mean, she has this kick scooter that she goes around skate parks in Georgia, and she was riding. I saw a video of her, you know, riding this kick scooter around it. It was pretty amazing, and she just wants to share her story of faith and fighting her disability And is in it was in the also the Born Different series on YouTube, and it's just amazing. And you can also join her journey by becoming a member of the Jam Fam on Facebook. And all this is going to be in the show notes. I love that, Jam Fam. Well, without further ado, welcome to the Obesity Revolution, Jam. How are you doing?
What's good, everybody?
Yes.
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. Happy that I, you know, got downstairs with the makeup and positive smile going. You can't see my face, but it looks great.
Hey, so does mine. Look at me. Look, I mean, I got, my face is good too, Jim. So
fabulous.
I got the makeup on and everything, you know, I joined you in it, but Jim, I want to say something.
You're glam from the inside out. Full glam.
That's like, what I'm talking about.
Knock me back a few steps. You're so glam.
That's awesome. Well, Jim, I'm glad you're here. You're a rock star. You are a warrior. And I'm just honored to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
You've been through a lot. I mean, you have this kick scooter. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, tell us a little bit about that.
So, like last year around my anniversary with my boyfriend and I,
mm-hmm.
I started getting obsessed with scootering.
Okay.
My boyfriend likes to skateboard, and it was something that I wanted to do with him, but I knew that physically, being one, having lymphedema, and my leg was massive at the time.
Yeah.
And two, just being overweight at the size that I am, I knew it would not be smart or safe for me to try and get on even a longboard. I was not about to play with my health like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I started looking at scooter videos because there's a nearby park near our home that has this long trail. I'm like, it's not a skate park. It'll be a nice trail just to ride around, ride together. Because even walking, he's tall, he's got muscles, and he's slim. So he can walk real fast past me. So I'm just like, this is something we can do together around the same speed. So I asked for a scooter as my anniversary present. Not diamonds or any jewelry. I wanted this scooter so that we could do something together. And since then, I've gotten really into the scootering community because I noticed it didn't have a lot of handicap representation.
Sure.
And I was like, you know what? This is actually really good for plus size people to have a unique and fun way to exercise. I'm sure people don't, especially people who are older like I am, like I just turned 30, don't think, oh yeah, I'm gonna go get a scooter and ride around. But I like that kind of thing. I've always been into extreme sports. Even when I was a kid, I was obsessed with skateboards.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was like, no, you're not riding that death trap. So I rode everything else I could. I had rollerblades, I had the bikes, I did BMX racing for a while. Like, I loved it. So now that I'm older, that passion and love never went away. So outside of just learning how to build things and take them apart and know every name of every trick in the book, I wanted to be able to finally experience it. And after going through a big chunk of my health journey and no longer being bedridden, but being able to be mobile and walk around, I'm just like, I'm not waiting anymore. I'm not going to wait till I lose weight to try to fight for my health and have some fun. I'm going to do what I can, while I can, when I can, and as I can do more, I will. But for now, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to have fun doing it.
That's good. Have fun doing it. That's, you know, be happy where your feet are.
Yeah,
is what you
exactly.
did. You didn't, you know, say whenever I get there, I'm gonna figure this out, because that's the thing is people say, well, people that fight obesity and lymphedema, that we don't care about ourselves, which is a major stigma, and that's not true. Is there some? Yeah, I mean, is there some that play into the stereotype? Yeah, there's stereotypes on everything, but don't lump everybody into that, because here's Jam riding around on her scooter in Georgia at skate parks. And she's trying to get herself healthy. I mean, come on. That's what, you know, only thing is, can you do a 360 ollie flip?
We don't have ollies and scooters.
I know. I'm just, we have, I know.
It's called a J-hop.
Yeah.
And no, I cannot do a 360 J-hop. I'm still working on just nailing my J-hop enough. Actually, now that I've gotten used to riding a cruise scooter, I've made it my goal that this year I want to go ahead and get a stunt scooter so I can start doing jumps and stuff like that. Right now I could just like cruise around, go down ramps and things like that, which is how I hurt myself when I made that post.
Oh, really? You made that post? Is that how you did it?
I decided to make a post after I had my very first real scooter-related injury. And I was like, you know what? I'll be real about it. Yeah, it's fun. I ride around. I got hurt, but I'm doing it again. I don't care. I was out. I was outside with my boyfriend. He was practicing doing like flat ground tricks on his skateboard, and it was the first time that I had my scooter out in about a month because I've been doing lymphedema therapy.
Yes.
So I had to take a break from riding. So for the first time in a month, I had my scooter out, and I was just J-hopping and bunny hopping and that's jumping over little flat area things as much as I could because I want to get back into the swing of it.
You did. Now, can you ride a scooter on a half pipe? Is there...
With the type of scooter that I have, I cannot ride on a half pipe. I can do ramps, but I can't do a half pipe.
You
that's
can't
why
do
I want to get...
Because that would be pretty cool. That would be pretty cool if you could do a half pipe, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's my goal for this year is I want to get a stunt scooter so I can broaden what I can do.
That's awesome, Jim. That's and it's you said it's a good source of exercise, huh?
It's an amazing source of exercise because once you go down the hill, you have to walk back up. On a kick scooter, there's no pushing your scooter back up. It's not happening, especially if you're plus size. I put a lot of thought into the scooter I was getting. I knew that I was not ready for a stunt scooter. Mm-hmm. And frankly, with my lymphedema, I wasn't sure if I could ride a scooter at all. It was something I wanted to try. Right. So I got one that was built for cruising and had a shock on it that would absorb my weight. And I also had bigger wheels so that it would absorb my weight and also it could go over things easier. So I put a lot of thought into it because, I didn't want my boyfriend to waste his money giving me a gift I couldn't use.
Yes.
But also I wanted to be as successful as I felt like I could be with that scooter. So I did a lot of research, put a lot of thought into it, and I found one that I'm really happy with, and I'm ready to go to the next level.
Good. Wow, Jam. That's incredible. So you're the type of person, don't tell you can't do something.
Yeah,
I can already tell that you're saying, man, I'm going to figure it out. And more, you know what? People that are listening right now, listen. Don't limit yourself because Jim, you didn't limit yourself. You just said, hey, I'm going to find something. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to do it like a math problem, and I'm going to make sure I get the best out of it. And that's where you're at.
To that word, Sean.
What's that?
I happen to be allergic to that word, math.
Yeah.
Puzzles I
can
do,
too.
But I am allergic to the word math. It gives me a headache. I start to itch.
Yes. Well, math, I only got to pre-algebra whenever I was in high school, so that tells you right there. I was, I should have been in trigonometry my senior year. Well, school, you say the word school, that's where I'm allergic to that word. So I don't even know how I got out of high school, but I did. So it's just been an incredible thing to, finally get out of high school. And I stayed 2 extra years. So I'm just thankful that I finally got out of high school and didn't fail my way out, and I didn't quit. So that's a whole other thing, But you mentioned something, and I want to sort of put a thumbnail on that. As you said something about you were bedridden, okay?
Yes, sir.
But my first thing that what I want to ask you is, you have lymphedema just like I do.
Mm-hmm.
Lymphedema, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, Jam. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't. But now, how does lymphedema relate to being overweight?
Okay. That's the thing with lymphedema. It is flexible. It can honestly happen to anyone. It is not just a quote-unquote fat person's disease.
Right.
As it relates to weight, yes, being morbidly obese can cause the fat in your body, can cause your lymph nodes to not work properly because it's kind of like squishing them, which mm-hmm. cuts off your circulation, which causes the mass and the swelling to happen. The fat in your body is looking for somewhere to go. So yes, that can happen, but other ways you can get lymphedema is, like myself, I have primary lymphedema. I was born with it. It's hereditary in my family. Yes. Out of my siblings, fortunately, I'm the only one with it, but it is hereditary. You can get it that way, and you can also get it through surgery, like breast cancer patients, when they mm-hmm. have their breast removed, it often affects their lymph nodes, and they get lymphedema swelling in their chest and arms. You can also get it by an injury, a car accident, mm-hmm. falling. It can, your lymph nodes are sensitive. They can be thrown off. So it can happen to anybody. It's not just a fat person's disease.
Yes, and I like what you said about that. It's not a fat person's disease, because I have a very good friend. Her name is Amy Rivera, and she has an organization called Ninjas Fighting Lymphedema.
I know
well,
her.
You, yeah, she's not overweight, never has been, but her legs are, you know, like twice as big, and one is twice as big as the other leg, and she has primary lymphedema, you know, and born this way. And so when you have it, and that's what I think, maybe I had primary, I think that me, something, I don't know what happened. I got an infection, of course, in 2000, and it just said it. Every time I'd get an infection, my leg would swell, would never go back down all the way. So now I have it even, you know, in my abdomen, and it's a pain. I mean, to keep track of it, last time I went to the hospital, Jam, I gained over 200 pounds overnight.
Sheesh.
Yes, and lost 100 pounds in 5 days. Just because of all the fluid and losing all the fluid, and people don't get that. I mean, and you know, your lymphatic system is right underneath your skin, and it doesn't have a pump. The only way you're going to get that lymphatic fluid going is by moving, and you know, it goes there and it doesn't have a pump, but we're supposed to get it moving up to our heart so then it can pump it out. And so it's just been, you know, painstaking. And so when were you diagnosed? How old?
I was diagnosed with lymphedema officially. I think I was around the age 26, 27.
26. Yeah.
I was 27. I just turned 27.
So 3 years ago. So what did you think before that? I mean, like, do you just think it was fat, or just think you were overweight? Is that what you was just like we all do?
My lymphedema journey has been kind of complicated and long. When I was 14, my ankles started to swell a little bit, but I was a plus size person. So I would just try to lose weight, that mm-hmm. swelling would go down, then it would come back up. It was like, no matter what I did, the swelling would just kind of fluctuate. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until I was 18 that my leg was so big that my mom was like, you're not wearing shorts anymore. You're going to have to wear pants.
Sure.
You're going to have to keep this discreet while we figure out what's going on with you. I don't want people saying you have what I have or anything. I don't want people just filling your head with everything. So we're going to keep it discreet while we figure this out. I had seen a doctor and she's like, oh, you have lymphedema. But I lost my insurance and couldn't follow up, so it wasn't official. Fast forward, I suffered a really bad injury when I was 23 years old. Mm-hmm. I was at my church. I stepped on a stick and it got lodged into my leg. Pulled it out and cleaned the wound because I was used to having wounds and having infections and stuff. So I had cleaned it out. I thought all was fine, but little did I know that particular stick had a flesh-eating bacteria on it. So I ended up in the emergency and my leg ballooned up to over 100 pounds.
Jeez.
And they had to debulk my leg twice because they didn't have a strong enough antibiotic to help fight my flesh-eating bacteria. So it just kept eating my leg and eating my leg and eating my leg. I was in that hospital for 89 days.
Wow.
And they cut off so much of my leg that they couldn't sew it closed. So they sent me home with a 150-pound leg and an open wound that was about a little less than 2 feet long. So Wow. And then they were like, oh, well, you have lymphedema, but it's not the same lymphedema that your mom has because it happened to you during puberty and it was just some sort of thing that didn't develop right. And it wasn't until I was getting ready to have my Charles procedure to get all the extra fluid and all the extra tissue off that right leg that it was a dermatologist that was looking at the skin for my leg because they want to reuse it for my skin grafts. I smiled at her and she's like, you have a beautiful smile. And then next thing I know, she's getting in my face. And she's like, you have double eyelashes? I'm like, I guess so. I don't know. And she gets a magnifying glass. She's like, can I examine your face? I'm like, sure. Okay. And she gets in my eyes and she's like, you have double eyelashes. You have primary lymphedema. And she gave me the long name of the exact rare type that I have. And that's when I officially got diagnosed with lymphedema distichiasis of the FOXC2 syndrome.
Wow. So having double eyelashes is a sign of that?
It is. Having two layers of eyelashes. I have a, on my, I know only you can see it, but on my eyelashes, I have a top, on my top layer, I have a top and a bottom on just the top layer of my eyelashes.
Wow. So you got
so they
the
look
whole
extra thick.
And there, right now there's no cure.
No, there's no cure.
No, that's the
all you can do is manage your lymphedema. But that, fortunately the research for it has gotten a lot better than when my mom had lymphedema.
Sure.
I as a child I watched her leg grow. I watched her suffer and strain and I watched her die with an infection.
Really?
Yes, sir.
She passed away from infection?
She did. She had an infection. They ruled it heart failure, but my sister and I knew that she had like a cellulitis infection, and she was taking antibiotics, but it just wasn't enough at the time, and she passed away. Like, it was very sudden. My sister was there, and I was on video chat when she passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Jam. And that, see, people don't get the infection, man. It takes.
It
you know, it,
it
could, yeah, it could go. I mean, sepsis settles in pretty quick, because it goes right to your blood. You know, I've had sepsis. I've almost died. They had to bring ICU to me, and I've also had Steven Johnson syndrome, where I had an allergic reaction to an antibiotic, Cipro. And
me too. I'm allergic to Cipro, Levaquin, and penicillin.
Yeah. I mean, Cipro is deadly to me. I mean, I had a rash over 90% of my body. I had blisters. It was in my mucous membrane. If it wasn't for a Dr. Nalore, who was an infectious disease doctor, he saved my life that day in 2004.
Yeah.
And it just, it's complicated. Mm-hmm. And that's when I go right to the hospital. If I get a sign of infection, I go right to the, I don't mess around.
So yeah, if you wait too long, it can really mess you up.
Exactly. And I know whenever I'm getting it, and I go right there. So that's why I'm trying to get ahead of the curve, because you know this, you get an infection, you're going to gain weight. And it could be a lot of weight, and it's just, there's a lot to it. But here's the thing, not, we put a thumbnail in that thing about being bedridden. Tell us a little bit about that, where you were bedridden, and give us the little scoop on that.
Okay, so after that, after what happened to me, my injury that I got like debulked and the flesh-eating bacteria, they sent me home from the hospital, and they're like, well, you're lucky to be alive. You will never walk again, and it's going to take about 10 years for that wound to heal, if it ever does. So they sent me home with that, and I got a medical bed. I was placed in the living room of my home. My mom became not just a mom, but a caregiver.
Yeah.
And I was bedridden for 3.5 years, fully bedridden. That was my bathroom. That was my shower. That was my dining area. That was my entire world.
Mm. 3 years.
Over 3 years. Almost four.
I mean, how did you feel during that time? I mean, go into that a little bit.
My mental health definitely took a hit during that time. I was furious at God. I almost like completely lost my faith in that moment, because before then I was in Bible college. I was serving in youth ministry. I was active in my church. My mother had a ministry that I was active in. I was active in several ministries, just trying to get the experience I needed. I had just applied for a scholarship for my school. Like, I felt like I was doing what God wanted me to do. And then I get the life sucked out of me and thrown completely backwards. And one night, I had watched my mom struggle to take care of me. She was trying to help me with the bathroom. She was handicapped herself and walking on two canes, trying to feed me and take care of me. And I didn't really have health insurance, so my church was trying to get all the bandages and medicine that I need. I didn't have some of the medication that I needed for pain and things like that. So I got down to the point where I contemplated suicide. And it was one night I was listening to my favorite band. I'm just like, that's it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take what pills I have and I'm going to end my life. And it was my best friend at the time. She was living in China, and she messaged me one of those rare times where she could actually contact me all the way in China. It's like, God told me to check on you. What's going on? And I told her how I was feeling, and she just talked to me. She prayed with me. She, at that moment, pulled me out of the darkness. And that's when it kind of like a switch flipped. I was like, you know what? Even though my journey has changed, my purpose has not. I know that God has a plan for me, and there's a plan for this. If this story could just help one person, then it will be completely worth it. If I could bring one person to Jesus and encourage someone with their health, if I could help anybody with this aspect of my life, and if I can grow and learn from it, then it's worth it. And from then, I made it a fighter's attitude. I was not going to let that break me. I was going to walk again. I was going to live a normal life. I was going to live a beyond normal life. I'm determined to live a spectacular life. So while I was bedridden, I did whatever I could. I learned how to do bed yoga so I could stay flexible and change myself.
Nice.
So I did my own bathroom, and my mother didn't have to do that anymore. I cooked a couple times from my bed. Like, I did mental health stories. I talked to people all around the world trying to encourage people. I got involved with a charity organization that let me do volunteer work from my phone. And I learned to do what's known as surfer's exercises, pairing that with my bed yoga and my flexibility. I was able to do two different type of exercises so that I did not gain a single pound while I was bedridden.
Wow, Jam. That's amazing. So that switch flipped. It had it not been for that friend reaching out to you, you may or may not have been still be here.
Yeah.
And it was like that switched, and then all of a sudden that intrinsic motivation, that fire in the belly, took you to where you were bedridden for 3 years. What was that whenever you took that first step out of the bed? Tell us about that.
That in itself was a journey. I was in the hospital, and they gradually did it because they didn't want to overwhelm me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my first step was transferring from the hospital bed to what's known as a hospital chair.
Mm-hmm.
So my legs were still up, so they would like take me out of my room, let me be around people, because I hadn't been very much. So then it was finally less work on standing up. So it just started with putting both my feet on the floor, and just that in itself, like, I was so excited. I as close to being high, like, it was amazing. And then finally, yeah, I stood up, and my mom had just passed away at that point. She didn't get to the point of where I was finally standing up. It was when I was transferring from one bed to another that was the last thing that she got to see me do. So I just put my arms up, and I was just like, you know, you see me, Mom? I finally made it. I finally made it. and my sister was there, and my pop, and I was just fully supported. It was a magical moment. It's one that I'll never forget. Not that many people like can look and say, I remember my first steps, because it happens when they're kids. So I got to do it twice. So now I can say, I remember my first steps.
Me too. I remember. And it's not easy. You know, if you don't use it, you lose it. Yeah. And it's almost like you're standing in cement, and it's like moving that leg. It's like moving, you can't do it. And then standing up in the struggle, and I'm even sharing that, you know, the video footage that I got in rehab, and taking my first steps, and, you know, doing the pivot, and then walking, you know, 5 foot, then 10 foot. And it's like, okay, well, you're just lose weight. Well, if losing weight was that easy, don't you think I'd be done? You know what I'm saying, right? I mean, everybody thinks that, you know, you don't have, or we're just overeaters and we're bingy. I've never been, you know, I've never had a food addiction myself. I've never been a binge eater. I had a bad relationship with food. I would eat the wrong things, eat the fried foods, eat the, you know, my thing was Pepsi. So I can almost forgive you for that. Almost? Why is that? Almost. Why?
I'm a Georgia girl. It's Coke down here.
Oh, everything's Coke down there, though. Everything's Coke in the South, you know? Hey, give me a Coke. I'm like, give you a Coke? That's what they ask, and I guess they go right to it. And, you know, whenever there's five different, you know, different pops, and, hey, give me a Coke.
Oh, and you said pop. Oh, Lord.
Pop, that's what it is.
No, it's soda.
Oh, my God. No, that's not. You know what? That's. Listen, you said that you had a brother who lived. Somebody lived in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, you know, brother-in-law.
Yeah, your brother-in-law. Well, he knows if he's from a Yinzer from Pittsburgh and he's there, we pop is where it's not soda. Soda. I get into a fight with my wife about that all the time. It's not so, and then she ruined my three daughters because they call it soda. I don't want to, it's, and even if you want to call it soda, it's soda pop. You know what I'm saying?
It's fun hearing you say soda.
I can't say soda. I can't. I say pop. Give me a pop. You know what I'm saying? I like pop. So anybody out there in the East Coast, we say pop. Sorry. You know, you say Coke down in the South, everything's a Coke. You know, Midwest, you say soda, whatever. Give me a sody. I'm like, no, I'm not going to give you a sody. Give me a pop, you know, or I'm going to pop you in the eye. So, you know what I'm saying? That's it. Just, you know, it's that's you could almost forgive me. Okay. So you're Coke down there. Coke, it kills rusty, takes the rust off of nails.
That's Coke why we're does. So strong.
Yeah, right. I beg to differ on that there, Jam. I mean, you're going a little too deep there, young lady. I mean, you don't be over exaggerating by word to, you know, because Pepsi's that soothing. It has the soothing, smooth, you know, silky feel to it. So, anyways.
Exactly. That's why
you
also saw.
What's that?
I said, that's why you also saw.
Oh, come on. Jam, I mean, seriously. I mean, come on. Okay, well, just because you're... Okay, so forgive Jam. I'm gonna edit that out right now because she's not... She just went overboard, and I'm going to edit and say, you say pop. It's going to say... We don't say that. We say... Pop, and that's what it's gonna say. Pop. Absolutely. Every time you say soda, it's gonna say pop. Every time you say Coke, it's gonna say pop. So just remember that, Jam. You're not getting away with it. So I mean, so you three years is a long time. I mean, I was 7 months, and that was a long time. And you know, getting it back, and you know, it just that's why I want people to understand. It's like, you know, here's what obesity is, here's what obesity's not. But people don't want to listen to us because they think, oh, we're just using excuses. Well, you don't use excuses. You're out there on a scooter, for crying out loud. You know, you're trying to find a way to make yourself. That's what I'm doing. I fought my way through rehab. I was in rehab for 15 weeks in the hospital. For the hospital for 4 weeks, and then rehab for the rest of the time. Altogether 15 weeks away from my wife and three girls for 15 weeks. And I didn't get to see them, only by FaceTime, and I thank God for FaceTime. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you what, I was there by myself. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. It gave me that grit. It made me understand who I was. And you know what? We are warriors. And, you know, we put in there, and like carrying around weight, you know, at my highest weight, you know, 687 pound, I'm carrying 3 200 pound men around with me every single day. And people just, you know, play it off. Well, you know, society has written us off. And that's what, you know, you're doing. You become a voice, you know, Jim, of saying, hey, listen, you know, I was born different, but I'm just like everybody else. I have a heart. I, you know, care about people. You know, you cut me, it hurts, you know, whatever the case may be. But you, listen, Jam, you're amazing. That's all I can say is you inspire me. I mean, just listening to what you're saying. But you know, what about getting your lymph nodes moving? What can you tell me and us about that? I mean, I got to get my lymph. I have a lymphopod that I go in. I don't know if you know what a lymphopod is.
I've heard about them.
Oh, my, if you need to get one of these. It's a lymphopod where you can get into it, and it zips up and it massages your whole body.
Yeah.
Yes, and it moves the lymph nodes. So tell us a little bit about the importance of moving them lymph nodes.
So moving your lymph nodes as a person with lymphedema is one of the most important things you can do, right alongside wearing your compressions or bandages, whatever you have, and drinking water. Those are the top three things you could do as a person with lymphedema.
Mm-hmm.
As for moving your lymph, I'll start on a base level. If you are bedridden, I can tell you from experience, one, if you are determined that you are going to walk again and you are not staying in that bed, then you need to start moving your ankles and feet, doing ankle pumps, doing the circles. Start doing that now. That way, when you are at a place in your life where you can start practicing and working on standing, it will be so much easier for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was not expected to take my first step for, once I got to therapy, I wasn't expected to take my first step for around 2 to 3 weeks. I did it within the first 3 days I was there. And I can say it's because of the grace of God, and because while I was bedridden, I was exercising. I was pumping my knees and bending them as much as I could.
Yes.
I was pumping my ankles and my feet. I was massaging my feet. I was practicing putting pressure on my feet and ankles so that when I was ready to start standing, it would not be as difficult. So I was constantly exercising my arms, my chest, my back. I was doing stretches while laying in the bed. If you look at my Born Different video, they actually have a clip of me practicing my bed yoga for the video. And you can look, I only found out about bed yoga by looking it up on YouTube. And I figured out what I could do in my bed with what limitation I had, which was a 150 pound weight that I could not move because it was an open wound, and I exercised around it. So if you're bedridden, that's where you can start. There are things that you can do in bed. I did Zumba in my bed with my sister. She would stand up next to me and she put up the video on YouTube, and we played Zumba or Just Dance on our Wii, and mm-hmm. I was moving my arms. There are things you can do in bed.
That's
if
good.
You are blessed to be out of bed and have limited mobility, there's something called chair yoga that is at the YMCA. I take those classes now. There are things that you can do in a chair, on the couch. There's no excuse to not move. If you can even just move your fingers, you have to keep moving. Otherwise, you will stay stuck. You have to want to fight back to have your life.
Mm. Woo! You have to want to fight back to get your life back. You got to fight, because life is a fight, but life's an attitude. And Jam, oh my goodness, I got chills. Just thinking of the fight, because I know what the fight is about. And we really don't have any excuses. There's enough things out there that anybody can exercise. Anybody can move. And the reason why people, you know, you're either looking at the problem and trying to find a solution, or you're looking at the solution trying to find a problem.
Yeah. I started doing lymphedema therapy. I'll be posting about this on my Jam Fam group now that I've pretty much completed. I started doing lymphedema therapy back in November, and I learned lymph node massages and exercises that you can do just sitting down on your couch, like massaging your armpits, massaging your throat and neck area, and massaging your groin area. Just rubbing those things can start getting your lymph moving. And then getting up, just walking around your home, even if you're on a walker. I've been there. I've been on a walker before. I've been in a wheelchair before. Just taking whatever steps you can. You don't have to be on a scooter. That's just what I choose. And it took me a while to even get there. You can go to the pool. If you have lymphedema, please stay out of the hot tub. You will swell. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I've seen too many people with lymphedema go in the hot tub right after hitting the pool. Don't do it.
You swell up like a balloon.
You will. It's not worth it. I just had to put that out there because I've seen it a lot lately. So don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't. Yeah, don't. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, being overweight and or you know, handicapped, you know, how does it, you know, affect your mental health? I mean, I know you alluded to it. You know, you said, hey, whenever you were in bed for 3 years, you know, you even, you know, had suicide ideation. And I'm so thankful that you're still here. I mean, seriously, you are a true light, you know, and that's, you know, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men. And that's what, you know, I like about you, is that you are a light. You're showing that light in a dark world. And you said about, alluded to it about, you know, hey, I was wanting to check out. So what about, like I said, mental health? You know, being, you know, obese, you know, our past, you know, the trauma that we faced, you know, all those things, mental health. What's your thoughts on that?
I feel like obesity isn't just fat and skin and being oversized. It is also a mental health issue.
Yes, big time.
Because not only are you feeling your confidence sink, or maybe you even have delusions about yourself being a plus size person. I've seen both sides of the spectrum. Like, either you think it's the greatest thing in the world and more people should be fat, or it's the worst thing in the world and you're ugly.
Yeah.
When really, it's good to just kind of stay in between. Yes, I'm oversized. Yes, I need to be healthier, but I'm also beautiful.
Yes.
And mental health is, it gets hit hard when you're obese, because there's the people in the world that either think you're a fetish, or there's people in the world that just haven't taught their children about, hey, people look different. Doesn't mean that they should be ostracized. They should be taunted. Like, recently, this Christmas, I had just gotten my lymphedema therapy done, and I'm walking around with everybody else at this festival with my younger brother-in-law. He's 14, and I had just gone to go get him something to drink, and we're waiting in line, and these middle school age boys stand behind us, and they decide to take their snow cones and throw it at me and make fun of the fact that I'm fat.
My goodness.
And my little brother is just like, if I wouldn't get in trouble, I would go beat on them. I'm like, don't do it. It's fine. But it hit. I've been big my whole life. In my entirety of my life, I've never had that happen. I've never had food thrown at me because I'm fat. But on the flip side, while I was leaving, this lady had no idea what was happening, but she knew that I had lymphedema by looking at me. And she stopped me as I'm walking to my car and saying, "Hey, I can tell you that you've inspired me today, and you've inspired so many people just by walking around here with your family and having that smile on your face." So it's kind of like you almost have to choose what you walk away with. I could have left that place feeling broken, which it did hurt me, and it did take me some time to get over it.
Yes.
It took my family some time to get over it because everyone was upset.
Yeah.
But I had to choose to focus on, you know what, the enemy tried to break me down, tried to just ruin this whole experience that I had with my family. But in the end, that light still shined. It couldn't shut me down. It couldn't break anything because I was still walking around. Even after that happened, I was walking around. I was, you know, throwing snowballs with my little brother and shooting a TikTok video with him. Like, it was still a great day. And I still managed to inspire someone everything that happened.
Wonderful.
So I feel like with obesity, you almost have to choose what voices you listen to. And also listen to yourself. Good. Know your body. Know that, yes, you may be bigger, but you can still be better. And even if you're a skinny person, you know, we're a people of progress. There's something to always grow. There's something to always work on. I'll be honest with you. I'm diagnosed with anxiety, depression, and hospitalized PTSD from how many times I've been in the hospital. So I have to take medication for it. But I also have a positive attitude to partner with that medication. And I have faith. And that just makes me just a wholer person.
Oh, my goodness. So we're coming to a close right now, okay?
Okay.
How can people stay positive and getting healthy? What if somebody was to ask you, and somebody's right there right now, they're struggling, they don't know how to get healthy, they're negative right now, they don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, what would you say?
I would say, just because you feel stuck doesn't mean you are stuck. I would also remind that person, what are you fighting for? If you're just trying to get healthy for yourself, I can tell you it's not enough. You have to say, I'm getting healthy because I have family, because I have friends, because I have a purpose in my life. I have a reason to be healthy. And if I am healthy, I will use that health to better my surroundings, to better my community, and to help someone else. If you have something worth fighting for, you will fight.
Truth bomb. Truth bomb. You will fight. Because we're more than our obesity or our lymphedema or our health. We matter. It doesn't define us. And that's what Jim is just saying right now, to where she fought. She didn't want to fight. She fought and went through it. That switch, that intrinsic motivation kicked in. And here you are. She's now out there riding in a scooter. You know, now she's doing this. She's being, you know, positive about her life rather than being negative. And that's what it takes. It's all about the attitude. Would you agree with that?
I agree. I would say, you know what, I'm nothing special. What this energy, this positivity that I have is something you can have. Whoever's listening, you can have it. Your three little girls can have it. It's just about believing in something, believing in God, because he will give you that strength and that energy. And you can have it too. You can be just as positive. You can be even stronger than I am.
Wow. Jam, let me say something again. You're awesome.
Thank you.
And you are a light. I can see Jesus in you all day. I mean, you are a true light, and I am honored that you were a guest on our podcast, because you are a fighter. You are a warrior. You are a true warrior that is been in the fight of your life. And because you know what? Obese people, people with lymphedema, we have a battle. I mean, it's a battle. You know, the trauma that we faced in our past. I mean, I get the medication. I got anxiety. I got the O and OCD. I'm obsessive. And I take Zoloft and I take, Wellbutrin. I have to. And that was one of the greatest things I ever did because I didn't think I needed medication. But if you don't get your mental health in order and you don't get your mind in shape, nothing else is ever going to be where it needs to be. You can try every diet, everything. It's a lifestyle improvement.
Yeah.
And you have done that. Man, I jam with Jam with the Jam Fam on Facebook. Jam, I mean, seriously, Jam Fam. I love it. It's going to be a jam. Yes, come on. I mean, you are the shiznit. And I mean, you're
pretty awesome yourself.
Well, thank you, Jam. I mean, and it takes, you know, what goes around comes around. And it's people that are like us, that people don't want to use their voice because social acceptance validates everyone. All we need is validation. And use our voice, and you have been using your voice. And to that, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing your voice, sharing your life, and putting yourself out there so that you could lead other people who are going through the same thing to get them back to where they need to be and get them on the path.
Well, likewise, before we close, I just want to say thank you so much for having me, Sean. Thank you for using your voice and giving people like me an opportunity to use theirs to encourage people to get healthy and to use their health wisely. I pray that God blesses you and blesses your family.
Thank you.
And heals you and blesses your health journey.
Well,
and this whole thing that you're doing, may he just magnify it like yes. He did for Jabez in the Bible.
That's right. He did. He increased my coast. So that's what I want. I mean, it's, you know, 650 million people worldwide are in a obese or morbidly obese.
Mm-hmm.
30 million in the United States that are still in their bed.
Wow.
So we got to do something about it. And it takes a tribe, and it's finding our tribe and saying, hey, here we are. And that's what we're doing. The obesity revolution, we have a tribe. And I want to be a million strong of people that are in our situation, that we become a million strong and we take over and get things changed that we need to get changed in order to get the help that we need. So, Jam, awesome. In behalf of the Obesity Revolution, you go to the show, everything's in the show notes, Jam Fam on Facebook. You got to go, you know, join that group. She's encouraging, and this episode is going to be a blessing to everyone. So until next time, get healthy, stay healthy, and like I say, you really are the best part of the obesity revolution. And I love you all, and thank you for being and giving and all the accolades that you've given to us, and even sharing this podcast and everything that we've done. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And until next time, adios.
Thanks for listening to the Obesity Revolution. Now it's your time to join the revolution. You can follow Sean's weight loss journey and get coached by trainer extraordinaire Brandon Glore at theobesityrevolution.com.